Welcome to Sweetland Center for Writing podcast series, Topics in Writing. I'm T. Hetzel, and today I'll be speaking with Judith Swan of Princeton Writing Program. We'll be talking about how disciplined is writing. First, a brief bio. Judith Swan is Associate Director for Writing and Science and Engineering at Princeton University, where she developed and oversees graduate writing courses. Her research focuses on writing development during scientific training and on the ways language shapes the interpretation of emerging science. Judith is the author of several articles on writing, most notably The Science of Scientific Writing, which argues that considering the cognitive needs of readers can increase the clarity and effectiveness of scientific writing. Thanks for being here.
Well, thank you, T. I'm really glad to be here. This is great.
It's great to see you again. I feel very lucky. When we started the podcast series, you were the first, I believe. And so now to have a chance to have another conversation with you, I feel very lucky.
Oh, well, thank you. I'm delighted to be here. And I'm thinking as I'm listening to the description and compared to what we're going to talk about today, so that I think the one piece I would add to that is that that's focused on working with scientists, but the other half of my job is, as one of the directors of the writing program, is doing pedagogy and training, because we work with the instructors who will be teaching writing seminars and teaching writing in the discipline. So I think what's changed a bit is I've branched into thinking more about how the experiences that I've had working with writers in science move across disciplines and into the humanities and social sciences. And the topic for today is even about how those perspectives can actually help writers based in a non-scientific discipline get some distance on what they do and be able to get a better sense of what they're doing, as opposed to being deeply immersed in the weeds of it and not able to see as much about how it connects with other fields.
Well, wonderful. Well, as you said, the theme for the fellow's talk is how disciplined is writing. On the packet that you created for this fellow's workshop, you use the epigraph from Rena Letterman, "Disciplines are moral orders." Could we start there?
Sure.
Why did you choose this as a frame?
Rena's at Princeton, but the first person to find that phrase was actually Amanda Irwin Wilkins, who is the director of the writing program, we all go back to it quite frequently, because it captures the sense of how difficult it often is to have conversations around writing across disciplines, because as soon as what Rena's talking about, it comes from an article where she talks about her experience of being on an IRB board and the ways in which training in a discipline constructs a sense of how work is done, what's permissible and what's not permissible, and that's the moral orders part, in ways that are sort of implicit and tacit and not always visible until somebody transgresses them. Until you're in a conversation with somebody else who does something that seems, and that the moral, that you can see the shock and that sense of almost outrage of, how dare you do that? Those are really productive and interesting moments, because that's where the boundaries of practice are transgressed, and in that transgression, they suddenly become visible. Otherwise, when people are within those boundaries, it's like the invisible fences with dogs. I think that might be I'm making this metaphor up right now. But you know, that there is this constrained thing, and the dog is behaving as if there's something that we can't see. But it's only when you have the right tools and you cross through that boundary, you realize that yes, there's something happening here. And that was a moment when we hit that. That was the experience of trying to have a university-wide perspective on writing. And then speaking to people who were deeply engaged in a discipline about writing, and there would be these constant moments of the first sign of having of the transgression was you could feel the moral sense coming in. It's like we're not allowed to do that. And it's
yes.
Like, where is that coming from? You know. So that was why we keep going back to that sense of it. Also has to do with treading lightly as you do cross-disciplinary approaches, because once you trigger the moral boundary sense of it, now there's a lot of emotion in the room, and there's a lot of potentially defensiveness and protectiveness, which is really interesting to talk about in terms of writing, but can also derail the conversation pretty quickly.
And so how disciplined is writing? So how is this surfacing when you are considering transfer in writing for undergraduates and graduates?
Yeah. So some of it, I think I can think about it at two different levels. I mean, some of that, the reason that quote's so resonant to us is when we speak with experts in field. And so that, because, you know, the commonplace one is scientists who react to student writing, and they say it's like the humanities. And then you try to unpack, well, what does that mean? What are they doing? What are they doing that you are distressed that they're doing? And I think, you know, part of the framing is that the transdisciplinary or the metadisciplinary awareness is that everybody's making claims based on evidence. But what counts as evidence is discipline specific in ways that are not always apparent. And students are trying to both figure out what counts. What does it mean to do biology? What counts as evidence in a biology paper versus what counts in evidence in a sociology paper versus, or in a trans, you know, in a cross-disciplinary paper? So they're trying to figure out, what am I allowed to say? And also, how do I frame that? And they're trying to do those things simultaneously. And they're quite often going to be wobbling around. But they'll hit that. From the insider's perspective, it's like, don't they know, and haven't you told them this? Maybe, let me see if I can be concrete. One moment of outrage, okay, of moral outrage, is I was working in a project lab course in chemical engineering. So where we decided that one of the writing tasks that it would be really good for students by the end of that course to be good at was writing a good abstract on research. And they would ultimately write, they would have a short project and they would be writing a report on that project. So in order to prepare, I in part read previous projects and comments about them. And one of the things that students very frequently do is they invert the independent and dependent variable when they're talking about it or even when they're plotting it. And from the perspective of writers and readers, that makes a lot of sense. This is the American scientist perspective. The information they're collecting is the dependent variable, and so they're really focused on, like, well, what's new? Here's the dependent variable. But the moral piece is, you can see from the marginalia in the comments that one of the core practices in an engineering field is to get the independent variable before the dependent variable. And so that sense that the inversion of the two axes in a student paper triggers this sense of, how can we have a conversation? You're not doing something that should be so obvious to you. And it's clearly not obvious. We sort of have to sit down and help students. That's a moment of transition, that, you know, they're gathering the data, but they clearly aren't organizing the world or this document the way the professors are. And as an outsider, I could see the kind of intensity and just frustration and fury, but it was different worldviews at that moment. And so that's an opportunity to teach, but it came across as like, what's wrong with you that you're doing this? And so that's a very concrete, but you see that across the board, I think, in almost any discipline, you know, sort of like I don't want to hear your personal opinions. And so, like, well, in other courses, my personal opinions on my reading of this poem or my reading of this text would be evidence for making an argument, but somehow it's not here. Or conversely, you know, can we write about What happens when we try to bring in more than one perspective and kind of evidence to bear on the same question? That's really interesting work, and I think it's the kind of work I would like to prepare students at the university now to be able to do, because I don't think very many of our students will be as siloed in disciplines as previous generations were. That I think the problems that face the world are multidisciplinary, and I can do another example. When scientists approach climate change totally from the level of here's the evidence on what's happening in the climate and bring that into a public sphere, it clearly doesn't work, in part because people who study public communication and public policy train in understanding the psychology of groups, what motivates decision making, where people get resistance. There's a whole, and there are people who understand that.
How do you communicate these ideas to the audience that needs to hear
and so,
them?
And so the best, right, although we might gather knowledge and do epistemology in a particular discipline, because disciplines give us methodology, give us ability to make claims about what we know, when we take what we know into conversation, it's rare that we get to just talk within that discipline. We often have to cross into engaging with other disciplines. And so I want all of us to be able to think about what kind of question am I asking, what kind of answers what are different ways of answering it, and who are my interlocutors? So if I want to talk to sociologists about people's experience, they might be somewhat interested in qualitative information about what people think, but they're very much going to need that grounded in quantitative analysis of similar issues.
For proof.
For validity. For validity. That's the discipline piece.
Yes.
So part of the question on for Sweetland is, if we're focusing on data in a sociology context, and that's the object of analysis, how do the practices of analysis here correspond to analysis in other settings? There's a lot of literature out there on transfer that there's a sense of, like, I do this thing here in these boundaries, and then I do this other thing that's completely different. And from a more experienced perspective, or one thinking across disciplines, you can say, actually, those two things are related, but we know that the experience of moving from one setting to another tends to silo them within the brain. Or within the experience space, like the sense of, like, well, I did this kind of thing here, and it has nothing to do with what I'm doing over there. And I think it has everything to do with that. But I'm also taking seriously when the writer says, I don't see any connection between those things. That's a pedagogic problem.
So when the writer says that, then what do you do? Is that a time when you're bringing in the consideration of the five analytical moves,
I want to take seriously that is indeed the experience that often students have. I mean, students are mapping disciplines constantly, and part of what's driving this session, because it's what we think about a lot in our program, is that when the people who are teaching have come through a disciplining process, they are scholars in discipline. And that's super important, because the experience of creating new knowledge rigorously and being challenged, and the scholarly experience, underpins what we're trying to teach, basically argumentative research writing. That's our genre, as opposed to public speaking All right, back up for a moment. The perspective at Princeton is that all undergraduates have to do an independent research project as a senior in order to graduate. And it does happen every year that a handful of students will have completed all their coursework but have not completed their senior thesis, and they will not graduate. They will have another year in order to complete the senior thesis. So it really is this very intense requirement, and that shapes our writing program, because the only required course on writing, one of the few courses that talks about writing on campus is the first year writing seminar. So we are very much faced with a transfer problem. We have students who have not selected disciplines, and we want to give them a research-like experience, because the place where they're really going to need this, and it's sort of a crazy way to teach, but that's the way it's set up, is 2 or 3 years later, as they are now in discipline. So the transfer problem is the problem in the framework of our institution. We actually now have slides on things like that. We get these happy freshmen matriculating, and they're going to finish with a senior thesis 3 years later, 4 years later. But there's this huge gap between the experience in the writing seminar and when they're actually doing that. And that experience of, as described in one of the articles that I asked Sweetland to read, of pedagogic memory. I love that article. I first heard it as a panel at 4Cs, and so I actually know some of the things that aren't in the article that they said at the panel. One of which was that the worst reporters on their experience were the scientists.
Oh, Jesus.
Those were the ones that it took 45 minutes of conversation for them to suddenly say, oh, you're right. I didn't always know this. I had to learn it. And it was something I learned in my first year writing course.
And the article is Pedagogical Memory, Writing, Mapping, Translating, Susan C. Jarrett, Catherine Mack, Alexandra Sartor, and Siobhan E. Watson. And this is like their work that was based on interviewing.
Yes. And the story they told at the panel of 4Cs was they were trying to serve, do some assessment on writing at the Davis campus. And so first they did a survey vehicle, like send a questionnaire out. And they got the questionnaire back, and as far as they could tell, they might as well cancel the freshman course, because the results of the fill out the questionnaire is, sure, I'm writing in all these other courses, but my first year writing seminar had nothing to do with what I'm doing. And I do remember whoever was speaking at that moment said, so we thought, oh, we're all going to be fired.
We'll just chuck it in.
And she said, but fortunately, when we developed the assessment program, we had built in doing these interviews. And so we now needed to at least finish the assessment project. and we did the interviews, and the interviews is where the pedagogic memory piece surfaced. That only in conversation with some pointed questions and the opportunity to reflect, almost every student started to make those connections and make them explicit. They also said in the natural scientists were the most adamant that there was no connection and eventually would also come around. They were as represented across.
They could map it.
They could
map their own narrative.
It took conversation to surface it. It took conversation to become. It's the metacognition of transfer, and it's not happening in the self-reflective moment on students. And so part of why I love that article is that seemed to be what was happening, but we frankly had never done the study to actually demonstrate it. And so I'm so delighted that they did, because I think that, I think it's not their students, it's, I think, the experience of being a student, navigating from course to course, year to year, department to department.
So, Judy, how can writing instructors, when they're meeting students, whether it's in first year writing requirement or in upper level writing, when you're meeting a student for a writing occasion, where this is one of the focuses, how can you help?
Okay, so
in the writing classroom,
right? So and this is a little bit speaking about in our program, because we're concerned about transfer, we're looking for what is it that disciplines share, and so actually this is I'm going to give you the structure of metaphor. Everybody is very quick to say, oh, discipline writing in disciplines is different. Writing in chemistry is different from writing in creative writing or writing in comparative literature is different from sociology, and yet our perspective, and this is why it's metaphor, that writing in different disciplines is the same. So, and both of those statements are true, which is a little tricky when you're 18.
Right.
That's the cognitive stage.
You have to hold both of them.
We have to be able to hold contradictory versions of the world simultaneously. So that's the place that we go. That yes, I'm not denying that there are, that if you drop into a sociology paper, very quickly you know you're in sociology because there are differences. And yet, you can navigate that. And so there must be something similar. And that if we can teach both how to recognize what's similar and to be aware that one of the tasks when you enter into a new setting is to map what's different and what's similar productively, that's what will give you some resources for navigating through a new setting the first time. Once you're embedded in the setting, you know, by the fifth research article, the 10th op-ed, the 15th podcast, there's now an experience base of what is it that is particular to the setting. But the real challenge is walking into a new setting, not throwing your hands up in the air that I have no experience that's relevant to this. But also not saying, oh, I know everything about this new setting because I'm just going to take what I had in one setting and impose it here. So there's a kind of looking for what is shared. And this was what we'll try to do in the seminar today, is to think about analysis as a metadisciplinary practice. Many of the framings for transfer seem to put analysis within discipline, I think because analysis is so tightly tied to methodology, and methodology also seems to be invested in discipline. So this is one of the things that our program's talking, methodology is part of our key terms. We raise the question of methodology as a concern for writers. And that means that often people working in the humanities, we have to sort of introduce them to the concept of methodology and to realize that they have a methodology.
And to make it transparent to them.
And that it is a methodology, and it's because it's shared among their community that they don't flag it as methodology. In other disciplines, even within engineering, people have to describe methodology because they're aware that within the discipline there are many ways to solve a problem, and so I need to know what yours is. In the humanities, it tends to be close reading. And a few some literary strategies that are shared, and so helping in our case, often the biggest hurdle is taking new instructors who are trained in more humanistic disciplines, and who feel like they don't know about methodology, and trying to get them to realize that they've got a methodology, and it's not that and it's a methodology, and it's trying to do what other methodologies are doing, so they actually can talk about methodology, even if the methodology is quantitative, and manage that anxiety. So from the student perspective, I'm trying to develop metadisciplinary awareness, but the challenge for faculty teaching that is developing their own metadisciplinary comfort, because particularly we tend to work mostly with recent PhDs. So at the stage in one's career, one has spent years immersing in discipline, and now I'm back to Rena Letterman, which has constructed a moral order of how one does work. And being able to get a little distance on that and saying this is a kind of work that is related to other work that people do, even though some of the features of my texts or of my method appear to be different, there are these core activities within. And that's hard. And our pedagogic training, we're really thinking about both how do we create a situation for students, but also how do we help our faculty be comfortable. For us, it's working across disciplines in a first-year writing course. It makes perfect sense because our students are not yet disciplined, and so the questions they're going to ask are not going to have discipline boundaries. And it doesn't make sense to teach everybody in my seminar how to write a biology paper because most of them aren't, some of them are not going to be biology, but teaching them how to write an analytic paper that engages with who am I writing to and how, what kinds of evidence count as knowledge and who are my interlocutors and who can I get to help me think through this, particularly from different disciplines, that's a really useful activity and it will be helpful in their disciplined writing down the line. But it's really hard to do first year.
Judy, thanks so much for talking with me today. I can't wait for our next conversation.
Thank you. I hope that was, I've truly enjoyed it. Thank you so much, Dee. This is really a pleasure.
You've been listening to the Sweetland podcast series, Topics in Writing, recorded at the University of Michigan. For more information about the Sweetland Center for Writing, visit us on the web at lsa.umich.edu/Sweetland.